Amen. Thank you. Sin in the Bible is the opposite of joy. It will always be the opposite. And there is joy. There is always joy when we are in tune with God. We have to be in tune in order to have joy. And joy is a natural disposition of Christ. And we are only in tune with Christ when we do not sin. Okay? Paul is trying to get our attention about Christians. We don't lose our salvation once we get saved, but if we are not careful, we can lose the joy of our salvation. And this is what Paul pointed out always, rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice, because joy will come whether you're sick or you're wealthy. It doesn't matter. Job said, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh, to him be the glory. Why? Because the joy of Job was the Lord. Okay? We have David in, I think it's Psalm 51:12, where he said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. If you notice, he didn't say, restore to me, save me again, Lord. No, he knew he was saved. David knew the basics of the foundation of the basic of his life. And this is what all of us need to understand. We need to be, and there's nothing wrong with, and we've heard message after message after message about salvation, and we could take a wrong attitude and say, well, I know that I was saved. No, you know what? I rejoice every time I hear a preacher, a Sunday school teacher, giving me the plan of salvation. Why? Because by grace I was saved. By grace we all were saved. And we should rejoice, because if we lose the basic basis of our salvation, where we started, and that will take us all the way through when Christ comes back for us. Okay? So he said, restore the joy of thy salvation. He had been saved, but you know what? When God is not the center or in the center of the throne of our heart, then Satan will be in the cellar of our thoughts. This is what happened. This is what happened to David. He let the enemy come in there and he drifted away. But remember, he said, create in me a clean heart, O Lord. See, the Holy Spirit will always draw us back to him. Okay? There is a difference between a person that says that they're saved and one that is saved. We have many examples. The 10 leprosy, when Jesus healed them, he healed all of them. But how many came back? Only one. And weren't there 10? And where are the other 9? You know what? The world seeks Christ, and when they're in need. And once the Lord gives them what they want to, they go back to the world. But a Christian, when he sins or she sins, what happens when the Holy Spirit gets a hold of him? You know what? You can't be comfortable. Because without a Christian without joy cannot be happy. And so Paul is trying to point us out. He's speaking about joy. And these verses have nothing to do with what Paul is saying. But I just want to focus on joy. Okay? And then when Jesus told Thomas, remember, he said, because we are talking about believing now. The first chapter was of suffering for the Lord. The second chapter, Paul tells us about serving the Lord. And there's this, you know what? Sometimes we have to sacrifice. Our pastor just set a good example in my life. He comes all the way from where the air filters and back. And he comes and he's here on time. And I'm not saying that to... No, it's that it's a good example that we should follow. And if he can come all the way from way over there and we live closer, there shouldn't be any excuse for us, see? And so that should encourage us. Paul was trying to encourage and motivate the church of Philippi, okay? So Jesus told Thomas, Thomas, you have believed. See, he had already believed, but Thomas let the consequences around him steal him of his joy. Unless I see him, I'm not going to believe. Well, didn't you believe? Yes, but he was doubting. And sometimes Satan will come and discourage us. We don't lose our salvation, but he'll put doubt. Once he puts doubt in our hearts, in our minds, you know what? We'll get cold and we kind of drift away until the Holy Spirit gets back to us and brings us back. So he said, Thomas, you believed because you saw me. Blessed are those that have not seen. Speaking of all those that after Christ died and rose up to our time until he comes, how many of us have seen Christ here? No. But we have seen him in the attitude of a person. We see a different person, so we see Christ in other people. I say, Lord, can other people see Christ in me? And if not, what am I doing wrong? And we need to examine ourselves once in a while. Yes, I'm not examining myself to see if I'm saved, because I know I'm saved because God said it in his word, and I believed and I accepted him. But sometimes when I get out of tune, I need to examine myself. We need to examine ourselves. This is what Paul was saying, okay? And then he says again, and we've heard that over and over, Second Corinthians 5:17. Behold, if any man, if any person be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. In other words, what it's saying is, if any person accepts the Lord Jesus Christ, they are born again. And all their sins are forgiven. And guess what? Your names are written in the book of life. And God has forgiven everything. And now he's made you a new creature. When he died, you died with him. When he arose, you arose with him. And guess what? Now we live for Christ until he comes. I believe the word of God, that he died for me, that he was buried, he rose from the dead, and he was taken up, and one day he'll come for us, and one day we'll be. I believe in the word of God, and because I believe it changed my life, it should change your lives. Okay? Then we have 2 Corinthians 4, 13 through 17, and I'm going to have Daryl read it for us. This is what it's all about for us Christians. And Paul, remember, had founded the church at Philippi. And now he's over there. Years pass. He is in Rome. And remember, he had Timothy and he had Epaphroditus with him. And remember, Epaphroditus was a very reliable person. He was the one that we would send, okay, we have money for Paul, and we would send this person, and he would go. And then he would stay there and provide for the needs of Paul down there. But one time, and he had a burden because Epaphroditus was from the Philippians church. He was a member there. But he got sick. And when he got sick, about to die, he was about to die. And Paul, being in prison, he felt that burden because he couldn't go out there and hug him. And what can I do for you? He couldn't because he was in prison. So Paul had a double burden, him being in prison. And then he said, if he dies, how am I going to take it? This brother that has been so faithful. And so when he recovered, okay, he recovered. And Paul was so glad that he had recovered. And so now, about a month after he recovers, he gains his strength. And Paul wanted to send him to Philippi. Now, Epaphroditus says, okay, Paul, I'm ready to go. Are you sure? Yes, I'm ready. And so Paul had written a letter, okay, and he gives it to him personally. And then he starts heading down to Philippi. He goes down and to Corinthians, and he comes down the way he used to go to Athens, and then he would go to Thessalonia, and then down all the way down. And when he finally gets there, okay, remember, and let's go to Philippians 2. Philippians 2:25. He says, yet I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministered to my wants. So now, see, he was getting ready, but now Epaphroditus arrives at Philippi, okay? And the brothers there, I can just imagine they were all excited because they had heard that he was going to die, or he was sick, and they didn't know. But when they saw him, you know what? I don't know how many of you still remember Maybell and Lois, or what's her name? She lives in Tonopah. But she fell. I usually call her. Last week I called her. She didn't pick Lou. She didn't pick up the phone. And I remember I would hug Maybell, and I would always give her a kiss. She reminded me of my mom or my grandma. I had so much respect for her. And when Lou fell, and I called her, Lou, are you okay? She said, yeah, I'm all right. You want us to go down there? She said, no, I have family here. And they picked me up and they took me to the doctor. So a week after that, Lou shows up with a big old Band-Aid on her head. And you know what? I ran over there and I hugged her and said, good to see you. I love you, brother. She hugged me. See, this is how they felt when they saw Epaphroditus. They were all excited. And Epaphroditus, it's good to see you. Everybody was even making a line just to go and shake his hand. And he probably felt so confident. Take a number, please. But they were there. And you know what? I can just imagine. The Bible doesn't say that, but you put two and two together. I believe they made him a good dinner, whether it was after church, but they made him a great a dinner, supper, whatever, and they had a great time with him. And once they saw him, he saw the brothers that he loved so much, and they saw him. And so now, they say, okay, now they say, what about Paul? Oh, no, I have a letter there that he sent to you. Okay, and so I don't know who read it or what, but I believe that they were in the congregation when they started reading it, and they were very attentive. So now he's there, and Paul is writing to them. He's speaking to them through the letter that Epaphroditus had brought back. And so now we go into Philippians 1, 3 and 2. Finally, it's not that he was ending the message, it's that finally what I had to say now, I get to say it through my brother that brought you the letter. Okay, finally, because I've been wanting to send this letter, but he got sick, and after all this time, now it has arrived. And he was all excited. And so he says, finally, brethren. And look at what he says. The first things out of his lips, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. In other words, remember in John, God speaking to the church and says, I have one thing against you, that thou hast left thy first love. And we need to be very careful when we lose our first love, because when we lose our first love, you know what? Our joy is going to diminish. And we are not going to want to be in church like we wanted to. I remember when I accepted the Lord, I was on fire for the Lord. Anybody, I go talk to them, even if there's a pole right there, I'd go witness to a pole, and I was so excited. And you know what? Like many of us, the circumstances of our lives, maybe we got sick, maybe something happened, we lost somebody in the family, and we kind of got discouraged. And to me, if I was to see myself back then and now, I think I have slowed down quite a bit. That's to my shame. But we should. We should keep on going for Christ. And so he said, rejoice in the Lord always, no matter what. Paul knew that there was problems at Philippi. There was problems with the government, first of all. There was problem outside the church. And third, there was problems inside the church. So he had to make some corrections. Okay? So he says, finally, brother, rejoice in the Lord. And then he says, to write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous. Again, hearing about the foundation, the basic foundations are of their salvation. There's nothing wrong with a pastor or someone repeating the things over and over. I heard it before. No, praise the Lord. Every time we hear about of salvation, any time, yes, I know that when I die, I know where I'm going. So when I have a track and I pass it out and it's got the plan of salvation, I've already read it. No, it encouraged me to stay more firm, and then it encouraged me to be able to talk to a person. Say, this is who I was, and this is who the Lord has made me. The same, I cannot save you, but the man that changed my life can change your life. See? And this is what was going on here. So he says, to me to write the same thing is not grievous, but for you it is safe. It is safe to hear the word of God over and over our salvation. There's nothing wrong. Okay? And so So now he goes into verse 2. And he says, beware of dogs. Isn't that amazing how the Lord uses animals to describe the enemy sometimes? Or even us, sheep. Who wants to be a sheep? You know, the Dallas Cowboys, the Patriots, or whatever, the Green Bay Packers, the Arizona Sheeps. Doesn't sound good. But the Lord describes us as sheep and describes the enemy as a snake or as a wolf. So he goes, beware of dogs. You know why? Because we as Christians, we are living in a wicked and evil world. People are mean out there, especially when I'm driving in Phoenix and they cut me off and go ahead. Because they right away tell you that you're number one and they want to fight. And we need to be very careful. So I remember when back in Hope Baptist Church in Texas, we lived out on the country, big old church. We have 50 acres, but the houses were like, there was no sidewalk or nothing like that. And me and Don Kashani, or me and my wife, would go canvassing. And we'd come with our feet all full of dust because we had to go like from here to Van Buren. There's a house, okay, Don, you get that house and I'll go over there and I'll meet you over there. But you know what? There was dogs. In the farm they have dogs. And you know what? The most dangerous thing about a dog is when you don't know that that dog is there. That's when they're most dangerous. And so we would carry a stick. And I told Don, carry a stick. No, I'll be fine. And he's walking through the field going to that house, walking and walking. And all of a sudden, a big old German shepherd looked like a wolf. Big old chain. And he starts going at Don Kashanik. And Don Kashanik is walking, and that dog with his big old teeth. And right about when he jumped, because that dog jumped at him, okay? And about 4 or 5 feet before he got to him, the chain wasn't long enough, and the dog goes, bah! And I said, Don, don't do that again. Okay, I'll be careful now. See, this is what's happening around us. This is what Paul's saying. Be careful with the unbelievers because they're mean, and you have to be very careful because you are supposed to be the light of the world in a filthy, crooked world. And so he said, beware of dogs. And then he uses again the devil, okay? The devil as a what? Roaring lion. Seeketh who him may devour. We need to be careful of his devices. And now we have here the devices. There is opposition in joy. Paul is trying to let us know, yeah, there is joy, but also because we are in the world, there is friction. Okay? There is friction because you try to tell them something about Christ and they don't want to. So, or yes, but this or that, and they create friction. And he said, be very careful. Don't let Satan use those kind of people to make your day a miserable day. And so, now we have Satan here, because he says that the devil walketh as a roaring lion. And so, while the devil has many weapons, one of his favorite, most effective weapon is deception. And we need to be very careful as Christians. And so now here we go in 2 Corinthians 11, 13 through 14. It says, "For such are false apostles, deceiving, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light." And then Revelation 20:10 says, "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire." So we should, or we must be on guard. Why? Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. We need to be very careful with that. We need to be very, very careful. Okay? And then we go to verse, then he says, okay, Matthew. In Matthew 26, 33 and 35. What happened to the disciples when Jesus was betrayed? And Peter, he's always, "I can do this on my own." No, we need to be careful that we let the Lord guide us instead of us trying to be the hero. Okay? But remember when Jesus was betrayed, and Peter says here, "Peter answered and said unto him, Though all men should be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended." Peter said, in 35, he says, "Peter said unto him, Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples." And Jesus looked at Peter and said, "Peter, this night, before the rooster crows 2 times, you are going to deny me 3 times. And what happened? When he denied him, and Paul looks, and he went out bitter because of what he had said. We need to be very careful that we trust in God, not in ourselves. And so now Paul, and now it says here, "Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." As Christians, we need to be very careful how we're walking. So he goes back and says, let me go back here. So he said, "Beware of dogs," or the people outside, "beware of evil workers." It is the pastor's duty. It is the deacon's duty. When we have people coming to church, and you know what? Our church is growing, and we thank God. We need to pray, God send us the right people. Because we have had over the years in Harvest Baptist here, in Faith Baptist, in New Hope, where there was a person that came to church. And you know what? When I first came to this church, like, I scanned the area, okay? I looked at the area. Is it a clean place? Yes. How is it in the inside? Clean? Yes. How are the people there? You know what? Me and Pat, when we first came and we were looking for a church, and we went to this church, cold as ice. The people there, we went in there, and they looked at us, and we're, "Where's the sanctuary?" "Oh, wow." She said, "What time do the service start?" So that's right there. And me and Pat looked at each other, turned around, and we never went to that church. On the contrary, we came to this church, the people were friendly, and they were very, very generous. And I felt that love, that genuine love for real. Okay? I ran out of time, but this is where we are going to go into next week, where we need to be careful of who we let in here. And I really believe that when a person comes and like me and any, they'll be here for a while and then they decide, you know what, we want to become members, right? But I believe that the pastor and the deacons should set them aside and see what their background is, because we have had many problems, even in this church, where people have come and then I went witnessing with them and they had another doctrine. I go to the pastor, something's wrong with this guy, and sure enough, causing problems. And we need to be careful. And this is where he's talking about beware of evil workers. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come before you, I pray that I might, through your word, guide your people, that what I am saying is what you are letting us know, that we need to be aware, Lord. We are saved. We need to be sure of our salvation, and there's nothing wrong with people letting us know that where we started and where we are right now. And Father, it's a joy to dwell among brothers and sisters, but Father, we need to be very careful, because Satan, as a roaring lion, walketh to see whom he may devour. And if we let him, Lord, he will destroy this church. But thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit, because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Father, be with us the rest of this day. In Christ's name, we thank you. In Jesus' name, we ask your blessing. Amen.